Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I wanted to sum up basically some of the quarterback tiers and give a bigger picture look at them. So this is going to be your sort of roadmap, if you will. I want to say I'm going to do this show that you're going to listen to today, or I'm releasing it on Saturday, and then on Sunday I'm going to have a broader strategy show talking about some things. And I'm in the process of finishing up AOD 2022, which should come out in, we'll call it, the next 14 days. So by the time you hear this, it'll be out within 2 weeks of that, essentially. So probably the week between, there's that off week between the championship games and the Super Bowl, and it usually ends up being the week. Either I release it the weekend of the championship games, or the week follows. It's usually within like a 96-hour time period around there. But be that as it may, I'm sharpening, I guess, or finishing my thoughts on a couple of things, and that are, I think, bigger topics. So I'm going to have a little of that content interspersed in here, and then once that book comes out, I will have more content about it. It has to do with, and I'm telling you this for a purpose, it has to do with sort of how we categorize assets. I wasn't sure, I wasn't sure until really late this week if I was going to include it or not. I'd written it. It was the end of it felt a lot like riding your bicycle up literally a ice cube, like a straight up ice cube, and without any tires that had traction on them. It just felt like I was just pointing directly to the sky without any ability to actually move up it. Just because there's a lot of moving pieces to it. But be that as it may, I think we've finally landed on something we feel comfortable with releasing, which is great. And I'm excited for it because this is a lot about how I view Dynasty. All right, so it has to do with different types of assets. And it's a lot to do. It mirrors somewhat of the way that I have the tiers on AOD. And it has, when you sort of, it's basically putting data to that. And I've talked about this, I've made mention of it. It's cored, there's different types of assets. So I have supermax quarterbacks, I have star assets, I then have core, what I define as being core assets. And then I have what's defined as contributing assets. And then I have partial contributing assets. And then I have within that is there's basically three groups, which is either, your backups, your streamers, or your value plays. And then after that's basically like your roster fodder. And so it's a tier, it's a concept of like, all right, well, let's categorize basically what we're dealing with, right? Are we dealing with, are we dealing with, are these core players, right? And this is something I think we'll build on more. And I'll probably, I'll introduce all the concepts here. We'll probably have, some audio content. And my guess would be that what I will end up doing is writing more about it in the off season and releasing sort of more tactics on it in terms of, as we sort of continue to use these principles, we'll see how it reacts to the market and sort of and involve ourselves with another, extension of the chapter, basically a sort of application chapter, if you will, next year. But be that as it may, right? That's sort of where I'm sitting. That's as I'm sitting here thinking about this podcast, I'm thinking about this in a quarterback lens. And so the Supermax quarterback, I basically view it as a couple of ways. A lot of this stuff is odds based. You'll read it in the book, but it is odds based. So what do I mean by that? Well, there's certain thresholds that you have to meet. So for like a super flex quarterback, You have to have a supermax quarterback. You need to have basically 50% odds of being a top six finisher twice in the next 5 years, right? Basically, it's a really high level. Only, you know, if you run regressions on those numbers, I've run it a couple different ways, it comes out to being 50%. It only includes five guys. I make it a little bit broader because if you take guys that have hit twice in the top 10, it mirrors the number, right? But once you sort of get to that spot, it becomes, you know, there's some age concerns, right? There's some longevity concerns, and there's all of those things. So there's a, you know, it's a balancing act, right? And then as you come down, the tiers, they change sizes a little bit, but as you go down, there's less, and it's basically as you go down in ADP, essentially, it's less value. It is less odds that you produce. One of the things too that I think, and this is really, I think this is what's really important. It's not even less odds that you, like, it reduces your odds of what I would consider like the easy things to do. And so what do I mean by that? Like, if you look at the odds of producing one warp for a quarterback in the top, you know, a quarterback one, for example, they're going to be the odds that happens in year one, right? So you draft them in 2022 in a startup draft. The odds that the quarterback one in ADP over the course of the season ends up being one warp or better is like 80%. When you look at it for like quarterback 24, the odds of that are something like a quarter, right? A quarter, 20% or so. And then what you see is, like, as you go out, right? So you say that same measure, right? You say, all right, well, what's the odds that it happens 2 years in a row, right? So that they produce a win 2 years in a row. And what you'll see is, like, it ends up becoming just a total erosion of assets is basically what ends up happening. And you'll see, you'll basically see as you go down, you get just a total erosion of the chance of quarterbacks hitting, right? Of chance of quarterbacks making difference. And as you go sort of out in terms of longevity, right? And as you go up in terms of difficulty. If you think about it, you know, if you go from one warp to two warp, or if you go from 1 year to 2 years, right? Like, as you sort of do that, of course the odds for the quarterback one go down, right? So for example, one warp in year one is 79%. One warp in years one and two is 63%. One warp in each of the first 3 years is 50%. So that's actually pretty good, right? So you figure really you're dodging injury or some sort of catastrophic event. And they're probably going to do that, right? When you look at it for like quarterbacks 24, for example, it's only 19%. It drops to 7%, right? Which is a huge drop from 19%. It basically slashes them more than half. And then it slashes them more than half again to go 3 years in a row. As you sort of go down in asset strength, it really erodes your ability to make an impact at high levels and at longevity, right? That's really what we see. You know, at the two warp level, these guys are basically, you know, outside the top, like quarterback 12 has a 4% chance of producing two warp in years, you know, in year one, right? So it's a really low number. By way of comparison, it is 18% for quarterback one, right? So almost five times the likelihood for quarterback, 4.5 times the likelihood for quarterback one to produce two warp than for quarterback 12. That's a massive difference, right? That's a massive difference. And so what you end up seeing is these things, it becomes, as you sort of go down the position, in terms of ADP, in terms of past accomplishments too, they're much less likely to be successful. Why did I just do 10 minutes on that? Well, I think it is critical when you think about the quarterback position in Superflex to constantly be moving up. This is a change, and this is a change from my first take at writing AOD. I wouldn't say that I was wrong when I first wrote. I think the first Superflex I wrote was maybe the second edition, but I prioritize different things now. And so that's the, I don't think the data or the findings are necessarily wrong. I think the implementation, the things I care about, right, as we sort of look at more nuanced ways of thinking about it, as we get more data, right, as we understand the position better, as we understand the market better. That's a really big thing, right? And that's a, and one of the things like I will see with the analytics versus film crowd, for example, I think those conversations are fascinating, right? Because if you listen to someone that played, or if you listen to someone that watches film, they might say to you, like, hey, you know, running the ball is really important because X, Y, Z, right? Because what it'll do is, like, body blows will set up, like, opportunities later in the game. So that way, you know, on rush 25 or whatever, like, there's a higher likelihood. Well, we can go back and actually test that, right? We have the ability to actually go in and look and say, was that true? And that's actually, like, if you listen to the analytics versus film debate, right, or the players versus the analytics, I guess, you know, the former players, a lot of former players are anti-analytics, they will say things like that. Well, we can steal from that. The same thing is true as we play Dynasty, right? We can sort of come to ideas and say, well, as we understand Superflex more, as we understand, I think the next frontier of this is going to be tight ends. And I we don't have a great way to do, like, the impact of tight ends in the flex, for example. Like, that's, we just don't have a good enough data set to say. At some point, hopefully we will. I think hopefully maybe next year that'll be the case. We'll have some data talking about, what happens when teams play, you know, tight ends and the flex more and stuff like that. So, but as we sort of go on and see things, like we sort of prioritize things differently, or we understand, like, hey, like, this is fine. Like, if you want to sort of build your roster a different way, but this is the most efficient, optimized way to do it. But if you're really trying to capture elite upside, like, it's to go early, right? It is to maximize the edge, right? And that's the sort of thing. The other thing I'll say about, so how does that come in? Well, in the, I think it was the 2020 edition of the book, when I first did Superflex, I recommended, like, quarterbacks in basically, like, the, it would have been like the 3-7 round was, like, really flat in terms of odds. That has totally changed now because I look at the positions now by positional ADP instead of by startup round. That's number one, because we've learned that is highly fluctuating year to year. But when you sort of look at that number, that would have been roughly, it would have been like quarterback, like 8 through 18, thereabouts, is pretty flat. And that's, I think, largely true, because what you'll see is there's not a ton of ceiling there. Right, and that's the thing. I much more now want core assets. I want high-level assets. I want guys that can reach ceiling, that can be difference makers. I have just come to prioritizing that. So it wasn't necessarily wrong to say, hey, like, this is a really flat tier. You can wait on the positions, and you can. The problem is you just don't have the sufficient amount of ceiling for what I am trying to accomplish now. It has been not necessarily a change in the structure of the position, but it has more been a change in the structure of my personal beliefs, right? The things that I would recommend to do now. The difference between, you know, the trade-off, for example, for me is, and there's other positions here at play, right? Especially now with some of the aging receivers that we can get, that we can really get in on. It, before, we would say, like, all right, well, let's, you know, we'll go Davante Adams early at the position, or, you know, three, four years ago, something like that. Well, that's fine. You know, when I think, you know, when they were sort of younger, right? When the trade-off, right, that trade-off is okay if that's what you want to do. But as we sort of have come along, we've realized that, like, hey, there's a and maybe it's some a value gap that's opening up more and more now, but it's, hey, there's this gap in, you know, in the 20s and the 30s of the wide receiver position that we can sort of go towards, exploit it, and that gives us the ability to sort of, instead of going early at the wide receiver position, we go later, and as a result of that, we can take long-term high-end bets at the quarterback position, right? It's been a flip-flop, and I think it's been a combination of both quarterback class and quarterback, them as a class of assets, right, in terms of age, in terms of productivity, and just in terms of the way the game is moving, right, how they sort of consolidate themselves, right, like all of those things. I think it has been much more of a, we should go early at the position, we should try and, you know, I think one super max is a really good outcome. I think two super, like if you get two top six quarterbacks in a year, like you're essentially going to the playoffs. And, you know, it gives you a ton of leeway, right? It gives you a lot of flexibility. And I tend to, the more and more I do this, it's like the Dunning-Kruger effect, right? The more I, you know, as I sort of go along, I realize there's less that I know. You know, your level of certainty goes down as you sort of learn more, you sort of become more and more confident as you go along. Well, one of the things in that process for me is like, we have to build in strategies that allow us to be wrong, because we're going to be wrong a lot. And one of those strategies is like, if you're good at quarterback, it can make up for a lot of problems other places. You can miss a lot at running back. You can miss a lot at wide receiver. You can miss a lot at tight end. You can play replacement level assets with two top six quarterbacks and probably make the playoffs. And when you think about the implications of that, like, hey, if you get it right, you know, I have a team, and I'm going to detail this in the book, where I have a team that's literally Allen and Mahomes. And then it's like a couple other guys. And I go through some machinations of it, but it was in my deal for Mahomes, I didn't have to give DeAndre Swift, who was basically my next best player after the quarterbacks. I was able to do it without giving Swift. And basically it gave me three top, 25 assets and two top four assets, probably, if we're being honest, between Allen and Mahomes. And that alone is, you know, if you take those three guys and you sort of just plug in around it, it's the star theory in basketball, right? It's LeBron James can carry a whole bunch of role players to a finals, right? Because he's that good, right? That level of, high-end assets can drag a relatively flat tier of all the other positions, right? Your differences between the running backs, you know, outside the core rounds, right? The core players, the core assets matter a lot less, right? So it's very flat in terms of your impact. So what do we do with all that information? Well, I think you should be more and more aggressive going up the board. So I think the startup draft is particularly easy to do that in. So I think if you can do that in the startup draft and land two of the top quarterbacks, I think you should do it. And so just so we're clear, it's Mahomes, Prescott, Allen, Herbert, and Watson, assuming Watson plays. So you can get Watson. I think you can get him in the second, third round right now. I've seen him sort of creep up a little bit more in some anecdotal stuff. But that's really where the top five guys go. You'll notice multiple hits. You'll notice, longevity, 3+ years of contractual security in there. All reasons, all under 30, although I don't make that a prerequisite. They're all under 30. Other guys could qualify. Lamar, if he gets extended, jumps into this range. Kyler Murray is a notable out here despite multiple hits. So we'll see there how that goes. Aaron Rodgers just on the old side. Stafford is one that I could go either way on. I think he's far enough out. He's going to be far enough out in terms of RDP that he's not going to be a top 10 guy. He's not going to qualify to be a super max guy. But I still feel really good about him in like that 2 year. He can be definitely a core quarterback. Would sort of be my thought process there. So. And then Tannehill again. I think Tannehill to a lower level. If someone's going to be up in this tier, I would say, in terms of on the older side, it's Russ and it's Stafford. It's not Tannehill. I don't think Tannehill offers the ceiling requisite for me to sort of elevate these guys to at 34 years old. If Russ were to sort of land someplace that I feel confident with, right, that would be, I would feel maybe a little bit more apt to do him up there in that five-year window. But that Supermax group, you'll notice only six guys. And I think at any given time, you're only five guys, I should say. At any given time, I think you're only going to have five, maybe six, seven, somewhere in that range. That's probably going to be pretty generous. So we'll see. I think Lamar could jump there. Burrow, let's give him another year, see where that goes. And Burrow, you know, if he gets a top six on his resume next year, I think could be in pretty good situation, right? You just look at, you know, Burrow and Mahomes aren't going to be that different in terms of age, and Mahomes has four top 12 seasons on his resume, right? Four top six. You sort of look at that, you're like, all right, like we're in a totally different atmosphere, right? Those are just sort of things that put you in a different tier. So if you can make, I would say this, if you can make jumps up the tier board, one jump that I would make aggressively is Trevor Lawrence up into this tier. We'd add to Trevor Lawrence to get to Justin Herbert. It's going to take a lot probably to do that. You know, I would give a first almost wherever it is, I would give a first plus Lawrence to jump into that tier. Multiple first, I feel less great about doing that. Depend on where they were, kind of depend on where my team is, depend on how high in that range that I would go. That's something that I would definitely be thinking about. The other thing too that I would sort of be careful on doing, you don't have to do this all right now. So just because we're sort of putting labels on stuff, I think it should be the ultimate goal, and this is going to be in tomorrow's podcast, but the ultimate goal should be to sort of get there at the end, right? Or get there, like sort of when you get your chips down, you want your chips to be good, right? You sort of want your hand to be optimized. You don't necessarily need to optimize it in January, right? You don't necessarily need to optimize it. So if having Trevor Lawrence keeps your options open, and look, like if Brian Daboll's hired by Jacksonville, or, you know, pick offensive guru, like Brian Daboll, Kellen Moore, right? Like pick someone like that who you could say, like, all right, like all of a sudden, like they're going to be, a buzz team here coming forward. Like he's going to get some rebound, and you can maybe make that deal in June or in August. Your ultimate goal is to sort of be there when your chips are right. You don't necessarily need to spend right now to do it. So that would just sort of be my other thing. So he's definitely one I'm moving up in tiers. I'm going to try and jump Stafford up, in there as well. Stafford to Watson is interesting right now. If you can get Rodgers up into that tier, I do think it makes sense as well. You're resetting the clock. You're going up in terms of security and all that as well. So I think those are worthwhile avenues to explore. I'm definitely doing it at the cost of if I can do it at the cost of someone that doesn't cost me like a top, let's say like five running back or top eight wide receiver, something like that. I think that absolutely is a deal that you should do to move from Rodgers to, Allen or to Prescott or to move sort of up that tier into that next level of, sort of elite arc at the position. Those would be things that I would think about doing. So I think, two of those Supermax guys, like that gives you a great window. You know, if you get one of that and you get someone in the multi-year window, right? So maybe it's a Russ or it's, it is Rodgers, Stafford, Tannehill, right? Burrow's in that window too, though I think he's going to be more expensive. You know, maybe a discounted Lamar. And I think Lamar makes a lot of sense right now as well too. And probably one that we should do a trade show on here coming up pretty soon. But I think all of those guys, right, if you can have two of the top you know, one guy in each of the top tier. I think you feel really good about that. You can go down a little bit further, but I would feel less good. And I talked about this. So I would say this. The likely 2-year window range. So you got Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Jalen Hurts, and Derek Carr. If you're not gonna go right, if you haven't had your quarterback two, and the 2-year window of comfort guys are gone. So that's Burrow, Lamar, Wilson, Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers, Stafford, and Tannehill. And that would have been probably a recommendation that I could have made. Yeah, I don't know. Two or three years ago, like that would be a recommendation. Like you can sort of get away with waiting. I think if you get away with waiting, I think you have to land two of the guys in the 2-year window range, especially right now, because you don't know where it's going to end up. Like you don't know if you're holding a fraudulent Jalen Hurts hand, which could very well be the case. You don't know if you're doing that in January, so you need to be really careful on that. You know, you don't necessarily know with Matt Ryan, right? But I think if you pair the two of those guys together in particular, or you pair Cousins and Hurts, or Carr and Hurts, right? I think those are interesting floor-ceiling combo bets. So if you're going those as quarterback 2 and 3, I think that's a really interesting combo. And one thing I'll say about Hurts, like he was priced at basically like a quarterback 10 range last year. It's exactly where he produces, and he falls in value. It's like the Hayden Hurst theory. I had this theory about Hayden Hurst. Like, what would he have to do to actually secure his value? Because if he went right at cost, which is what he ended up scoring at, he basically finished whatever his cost was that year prior to the Pitts coming in. I think he was like tight end 10 or something on offseason ADP. It's like right where he finished in terms of scoring, and he plummeted. That's exactly what's happening to Hurst right now. Like he finished right at where he was projected, and now he's down 6 spots. I think if you sort of take that out, that's really compelling in terms of he's on the board at quarterback 10. He's got a hit. They don't have like readily made options for him, and I think if there's a readily made option that they use on the position, so I'm thinking Watson, I'm thinking Rodgers, I'm thinking Wilson, maybe, like those three guys, he's going to get included in a trade back to them and be a starter. Right? So I struggle to see how Jalen Hurts, given everything, is you're holding a fraudulent hand, but I do think at this point of the season that it is, you have to be mindful of that and build strategies to prevent against that. You know, if it was January, if it was August, I think we'd be in a different position. So I would insulate him, you know, with one of those other guys. I mean, there's some stuff that you could do with the rookies, you know, Lawrence, Lance, Fields. Again, I might not necessarily want, you know, to get to opening day with them as a quarterback too, right? I might want better options. But if I'm sort of holding them now as part of a longer-term plan, you know, maybe I got some rookie picks, or maybe I got, you know, some other types of assets that, like, hey, I'm going to combo, you know, the minute Garoppolo gets traded or whatever, I'm going to combo Lance with, you know, with a pick and, a, you know, another player, and I'm going to go from Lance to Herbert, something like that. Okay, like, I can totally understand it. I don't think you necessarily need to do that now, but you sort of have to have a plan, I think, to do that. I wouldn't want these guys to be my quarterback too, in my lineup come the beginning of the season, right? So how you sort of blend against that would sort of be, a strategy that I would really think about. So, you know, is that you want to trade them up, or is that you need to sort of, you know, land a guy like Cousins, or you need to land, you know, one of these other guys? And you know, maybe that is something that you wait on, right? That's something you do later on. The other key piece to this is, I think the solution to a lot of these problems can be Tom Brady. However, I don't want to necessarily get in on him right now. It's quiet in terms of the retirement stuff. He's 44 years old. Period. End stop. 44 years old. I don't want to draft him in January. I don't want to draft him in January at all. I want to draft him when I know he's coming back. And there's no consequence to waiting. It's not like, you know, if you draft him at the equivalent of, you know, 109, just using hypotheticals, we don't have good enough data yet, but, you know, if instead of 109, you know, if it's Tom Brady or take 109, you a million times over take 109. Like, I think you have to take 109 in that scenario. Because if Brady announced tomorrow that he's going to play next year, you could pay, you know, 109 for him. You could pay maybe a little bit, like maybe it would cost you a little bit more. Again, I'm just hypothetically speaking here, right? I'm just using 109 as sort of a random number that represents something close to Brady. I don't even know if that's actually true yet. I don't think we have good enough data to say. But whatever the pick would be, you pay a little bit more, right? Maybe you got to kick something in. Maybe you got to get a flyer player, whatever, right? Like, it, you know, and all of a sudden, like, you have Brady. Like, you haven't really lost anything in doing that. You know, if he announces tomorrow he retired, you've just burned yourself a top, you know, 100 startup pick, and you're going to get nothing out of it. I'd rather pay up later on for the security of knowing and not necessarily build around him right now. For reasons that are, I don't necessarily know if it's retire. I don't think it's retirement, but for similar, I'm not totally sure where he lands up. Matt Ryan. I'd be cautious with Matt Ryan in terms of making a full-on, you know, investment in him in like a quarterback two landscape. I don't think people are doing that. Quarterback three, quarterback four on a roster, that's great. You know, non, you know, I've had some people pop him up on trade baits and stuff like that. Like, third plus, like, let's see what we got. Like, I haven't gotten any done, but like that sort of, I like those Mets. Him is like a quarterback too. Don't love those. So that's sort of where I think overall, you know, some overall viewpoints in terms of how I view the position. We'll speed it up here a little bit. Look at some of the guys down the line. I do think there's some, you know, the spread on, we'll call it the top four guys, top five guys really from last year's rookie class. Lawrence, Lance, Fields, Wilson, and Mac Jones. I do think building a strategy around taking the last one of those makes some sense. So that would be maybe an implementation about how I would do that. And then, you know, maybe your goal isn't to ultimately, you know, live out a Zach Wilson, you know, 2022 season. Maybe it's setting up a trade, something like that. You know, and you're just arbitraging, basically. You know, that would, I think that's fine too. You know, at this point of the season, I think thinking about these guys as assets makes a lot of sense. You know, I think there's some interest in taking a guy like Davis Mills as a developmental option, although I wouldn't take him as anything more than like a quarterback four. And then I'm probably avoiding the non-hit guys that are sort of along the way, right? So Tua, Baker, not really. I mean, Daniel Jones is interesting from a spec bid perspective of, you know, if they land Brian Daboll, maybe he could be a guy. That makes some sense. I think Garoppolo in the quarterback, you know, in the late 20s, early 30s would make some sense there in terms of like, hey, you know, maybe you don't necessarily have a quarterback two in the types of Kirk Cousins, but, you know, maybe you got a rookie and, you know, maybe get, you know, like, just try this on for size. You've got a guy like, I'm just putting together a hypothetical. You've got Allen, you've got Hurts, you know, you got, you know, you got Matt Ryan. So you got Allen, Hurts, Matt Ryan. You know, maybe you do a backfill with Davis Mills, right? Or you do a backfill with Daniel Jones, right? You do, or a backfill with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? I think all those guys have some interesting, you know, different aspects of that. All different ideas as different quarterback force. You can either insulate with a guy that's more certain or with a guy that's more upside, right? Because maybe you catch some of the upside there. So in that particular sense, like, I think you probably, you know, I think maybe knowing that you have another option makes a little more sense. But again, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is almost assuredly going to be a starter next year, but we don't necessarily know as we sit here right now. So that would be the other thing too that I would just keep in mind. As we sort of look down to, you know, I guess I could recommend maybe, you know, if Goff's going to be available in the 30s, if Winston's going to be available in the 30s, maybe those guys make target player sense in like the quarterback four type landscape. You know, if I'm sort of going heavy at the position, I want to get ahead, you know, and take shots. I'd go probably Winston over Goff. I don't have a ton of confidence in either one of them based on, you know, the NFL's reaction to them to date. But those would sort of be what I would be doing. So again, from a long-term perspective, I'm moving up the board consistently. If I'm drafting, if I can trade up, that makes some sense. If I can get a, you know, one guy in the top five, was it in a five-year window? If I can get another guy, it's in a two-year window. That makes a lot of sense. If not, you know, maybe do some pairing. You know, think a lot about this. You know, one of the things that I did in last year, and I'll have to maybe we'll go back and talk about it. But really plan out, like, if not this plan, right? Here's sort of what ideally I would do. You know, quarterback in the first. You know, quarterback in the fifth, right? And you know, quarterback in the seventh, who's a starter, and then you know, quarterback in the 12th, whatever, right? But, you know, by the 12th round, I've picked another quarterback, and you know, he's got, you know, it's a Jordan Love type, for example, right? Like you sort of think about that. We'll build in some contingencies. Like, all right, listen, if I get the ability to go, you know, 1-2 at the position, right, really high, something like that, you know, I get a trade up that doesn't cost me that much. Like, what's my options for quarterback 3? You know, does that change if instead of my quarterback 1 being, you know, Justin Herbert, it's Lamar Jackson, right? What do I want my quarterback 2 to look like in that scenario? You know, how comfortable do I feel? If for some reason, you know, my quarterback 1 is Stafford, how do I feel about that? How do I pair him with other guys that sort of make sense? Am I shooting for upside? Am I shooting for security? Right? Do I want to pair two upside guys together with the hope that it works out? Or do I want to pair, you know, a couple stability guys together to give myself some floor? So instead of pairing together, you know, Jalen Hurts and Trey Lance with the hope that it works out, you're pairing together, you know, Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill, something like that, right? Like those, or Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill, right? Those types, right? That would be, I think, something you really need to think about in terms of how you want to put together your board. It's not a right answer or wrong answer per se, but I think it is understanding the odds. And that would be a lot of what I was doing if I was going to be a startup draft. Like, all right, kind of here's the assets that I really want to take. Again, at this point, they are assets. You don't need to start a lineup. So that would sort of be my inclination. And then, you know, in existing links, constantly moving up the board. I'll say this, in terms of all my work, even where I'm rebuilding, I don't necessarily want to give away, you know, higher-end guys. Giveaway is not the right word. Trade them for, like, a lesser player plus. Right? I'm really hesitant to do that with an elite quarterback. You know, if you can sort of trade between that tier a little bit, you know, if you can go, you know, Mahomes to Prescott plus, like we could discuss that, you know, was the appropriate plus. Mahomes to Herbert plus makes some sense, you know. Watson, I think, is a little bit, we talked about him, but like those deals make some sense. What I wouldn't do is go Mahomes to Kyler Murray, right? That's, I think, a catastrophe in the making. You know, so those would be sort of the things that I would really be thinking about, you know, as I'm building out my team. And again, spending a lot of time right now trying to build and think about where I can get players that make more sense for my roster and fit together like nice, snug puzzle pieces. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. A little bit longer on the quarterback landscape. But until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.